This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the School of Influence podcast, where the queen and king of influencer marketing, authors and professors Amanda Russell and Neil Schaefer, cut through the noise and dissect what makes brands and professionals influential. No fluff, just the real deal.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the School of Influence podcast. Well, I don't know much about today's guest, but she has already heard of my book, Maximize Your Social, already very happy. But more than that, we're going to discuss a really, really interesting topic. I listen to a lot of podcasts and hear a lot of conversations. I don't want to be called an influencer, but I want to be called a thought leader. I think we're going to dive a lot into this podcast today about influencer, thought leadership, personal branding, especially if you're an executive. So I'm really excited for today's interview. I'm here with my pen and notepad to take notes. So Amanda, I'll hand it over to you for the introduction.
Thanks, Neil. So today we have a colleague and a friend of mine who I've been working with, who I've heard about for many, many years through a mutual friend who I respect very much, who kept telling me about this woman named Annetta Campbell, who was the founder and principal of Social Architects in New York. And Social Architects is a really interesting company. It's been doing this since well before social media was really a business for companies and for experts and thought leaders. And they basically help create the ecosystem around thought leaders and brands and institutions using social engagement. And it's really fueled with like a strong, they call it peer-to-peer network, meaning they kind of have a very strong database. And I know this because even when I was traveling this summer, Danetta said to me, well, where are you? Give me the countries. And then through that, I ended up meeting some, you know, extremely influential, interesting people and contacts. And that's really the core of it. This network is built on relationships and they are quite an ecosystem. I mean, they've been, I don't usually read bios, but just to mention a few things. They've worked with the NASDAQ, A&E Networks, Bloomberg, SAP. She's been won all kinds of awards. I'm looking through her bio right now, which I don't usually do on the fly like that. But just to name drop a few, the UN, SAP Global Offices. She's also been recognized at Georgetown University, Oxford University, Tribeca Disruption Innovation Award, UConn Business School, the SUNY Social Media Weekend Award, and was chosen as a social media disruptor in residence for Harvard and Tribeca's Harvard and Tribeca's Disruptor Foundation. That was a lot, a mouthful. So needless to say, I'm very pleased to have Danetta. Thank you so much, Danetta, for being on our podcast today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be here. And some of those are speeches. They're not all awards. So, but where I've done workshops and speaking.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying.
I'd love to have all those awards though. So I'll take them. So I'm thrilled to be here. I have been doing this a very long time. I was in the PR space for so long, it would scare you guys. You were probably young babies. And I was deep into the corporate thought leadership side with a lot of the big agencies. And had had an incredible career that I had loved in New York with the big agencies and was working in the pharma space when digital and social kind of turned the world upside down. Focused on the CEO of Pfizer at the time, helping with good news, that kind of thing. I'd also worked with one of the best crisis communication firms, Robinson, Lear & Montgomery at the time, and had a lot of experience with crisis communications to public relations. And at heart, I was a publicist. I love publicity. I loved brand building and legacy. And at the same time, I'd done everything else you could imagine. And I'd had great mentors. I was in the Time Warner building at the time that Bob Pittman was building MTV down the hall, and Kenny Lear was a mentor of mine who went on to do the Huffington Post. And I had a great experience of building profit to nonprofit, right? So when you rolled out a campaign, we always thought about what nonprofit group could we attach to a profit campaign for a new product or a new, you know, new push of some kind, which was really important when social kicked in, right? Because you had to be authentic, right? So these marketing campaigns, social marketing to anything else really needs to be connected to something meaningful. You can't just make it up anymore, right? Because on social, you just get torn apart, right? If that transparency isn't there. So I had a lot of the right building blocks in place. And I was in the WPP family in a branding firm when everything kind of just tipped over and started to think about where does thought leadership go with this, right? Now, all of a sudden, they're South by Southwest. It's a bloody ocean of voices, all these people out there talking about being experts in different ways. And it's not going to be so easy to help a corporate figurehead, even an Oxford or Harvard or MIT graduate in economics, to become an economic thought leader, right, in his space or her space, because there's so many more voices and it's going to be so different. So I had a great strategic partner at the time that was inside the agencies. And I had had my kids and had come back into the agencies as a freelancer. So I was working from the outside. So I started to really play with social while she stayed in that track and tried to figure out, what is social going to change? How does this look for thought leaders, for corporate executives and the C-suite? Now, understanding it was going to take a long time, like you said, Amanda, in the beginning of my intro, I was doing it before there were budgets for social media, before they were even thinking about social media. Like when I'd go talk about social media, my first speech actually was at NASDAQ for Social Media Week. But when I'd first go talk about it, a lot of people were just like, well, I don't really get what you do. It seems like you connect a lot of dots, you know, a lot of people, that kind of thing, right? But I started to look at it in the sense of, corporations are going to take a while to get here. There's really no budgets to attach to it. And I always loved nonprofit work. So I worked with a lot of journalists. I was deep in the media pitching space. I loved that part of the business. I had a lot of those journalists start knocking on my door as I got better at it and say, my next book is ready to go to market. I've been told that until I have 20,000 followers on Twitter, I can't get there. What does that mean? Help me. Right. So all of a sudden, I was getting a lot of people needing help. And I just kept going and started collecting them and helping them along. And in that process, it became a core foundation of my company, my little boutique agency now, the socialarchitects.co, if you want to look at us online, where we believe in helping those with big voices and changing the world and making sure that they also can get out there. So we do a lot of pro bono work in that way. In that mix, those voices became trusted colleagues and deeper friendships than we'd had before, or business relationships, whatever that may be. That part of the give and take, I believe, is they'd said, look, if you've got somebody that overlaps in the sense of topics or credible areas that we both focus on, you're more than welcome to like attach us together and help fuel each other, right? So if I write about innovation, or if I'm writing about technology, if somebody else in our little ecosystem, our community for the social architects, we have these social good champions that we use their voices to propel like purpose-driven messaging. Because first of all, that's the best way to create a community, in my view, is finding peer-to-peer leaders that match the leader that we're building. And then with either best practices, trends, or helping a cause or something with purpose, they're all willing to and happy to share each other, right? It's not competitive in that sense. It's all about thought leadership. So we really focused on that. And one of the reasons I'm good at social is I'm very ADD, as you can tell, because I'll string a story around all different directions. But the point being is I had a lot of thought leaders that needed help, a lot of journalists, a lot of authors, a lot of speakers, and a lot of foundations that we started to help. And they became like a lazy river of credibility, of influence for me. That when I had another leader come in later, as we got further into this and corporate America started to understand it, then we could drop them into that lazy river and move them along faster to become a credible, authentic, organic build. It wasn't not real. It was real, but we matched them up by, it was almost like a dating service, right? In a weird sense. but it just matched people up to the right categories that they could help each other. So we do a lot of that still as we've grown. I've got a wonderful boutique agency now with 14 of us, some of them at a very high level, authors themselves, and incredibly talented people that do all kinds of things. We do board advisory services for executives. We build corporate ecosystems where we do these cross-pollination network effect models that when a message goes out from one leader strategically, then we'll move it through like a people engine of their core direct reports and maybe some of their peers at a corporation. And then we'll move it into different categories of leaders that we work with in different areas that match that topic and just help it get started in an authentic way. And then it takes off organically. So we just put a little bit of baking social in thought into their heads. Like, let's do this strategically. Let's not just throw it at a wall, hope that it sticks. And we also do event work. We've got over 16, 17 billion impressions now. We've done about 800 events over the years we've been doing this. We've got almost 1,000 leaders in our ecosystem. We work with amazing corporations now from Google to SAP to Sony Pictures to, like you said, A&E Networks. We did for years taking Harry Walker Speakers digital. We also work with a private equity firm, Apollo Capital Management, for some of their companies. So we get to work with all sizes of companies. We're just about to do some fun projects on a more smaller side, but very high profile. We do a lot with the UN. So we just get to do a lot of meaningful work that I really care about. So my hands are very deep into the business still, but I get to speak a lot and teach a lot of workshops. I've just been asked to do a global networking event for Harvard's women alumni, which I'm really excited about, and to be here on the podcast with you guys, and just did Tech Up for Women. So I love to talk about social and really thrilled to be here today. So I'll pause there.
No, and I'm actually curious on Neil's question, because I think, you know, I now have learned a little bit more about what you do, but it's almost hard to, it's interesting to hear you say it, because it's almost hard to describe, but it is, in order to kind of build, you know, thought leadership out of the gate, you sort of need some key influence. You need an influential network that's going to help endorse you and support you. And I, you know, it's almost, interestingly enough, Neil, it's almost similar to what we talked about last week, where we're putting, you know, with, you know, a couple other people in our field, Jason Falls and Scott Guthrie and a couple people that all specialize in our field. And for the power of us all supporting each other is exponentially powerful for each one of us. So that's basically, in a nutshell, what you do. And the what I think is most interesting is how you were able to see it so much earlier before. But when people come to you, or companies come to you, do you also do because there's all different levels of thought leadership. Now, do you also do the speaking component? You work with people that help your thought leaders do speaking roles?
Yeah. So it's really, like I said, my core is PR and publicity. We do everything now from social marketing, right, where we're working with the marketing team and the leaders and the messaging to make sure that it's authentic and it's high level enough for that leader's thought leadership. But then how can we infuse some of the marketing messaging in the direct reports around them to make sure some of those key points on some really important initiatives, whether it's tied to, you know, COVID campaigns with the ad council that Google was doing, where we make sure that some of those executives can get out some of that key messaging that people know it's there. So it's a lot of earned influencers now in my mind. And there's a lot of books on this that I think agree with it. It's the new marketing, right? I mean, those voices inside a company share everything from culture. We work with a lot of big CHRO from Dow Jones to Sony Pictures and SAP, to where we're helping them figure out like what their company culture looks like. How do they retain employees? How do they empower their voices? And we do across the board, whatever an executive needs to translate them onto social. And then by having this amazing community of people like you, Amanda, where if you have an extra slot on a panel or a speech comes along that you can't do, they usually just reach out to me and say, hey, who do you have that can talk about AI? I've got a panel coming up. There's an extra spot. And I know you've got a lot of great leaders that work with you. Who could you throw me quickly and easily that's qualified? So it's kind of been an extra, it started out kind of as like that frosting on the top of the cupcake, but it's a core part of the business too, really, because we're really now consulting, how do we translate you onto social? How do you have an authentic voice on social? How do you use it in a way that's useful for you, whether that's creating a business driving tool that's talking to your partners? and telling stories about those partners, or whether that's pure thought leadership, or whether it's a mix of thought leadership and a little social marketing, or are we going to social selling, right? So, and it's all sizes, from an author of a book, how do you move a book, to a big corporation where how do you move those big messages that you need to counter, you know, reputation building, right? We've got some really high level reputation executives now that are working on our as our architects on for companies to help, you know, figure out some of those solutions. So we use a lot of gamification models, all kinds of fun stuff. But it's just like, to me, it's like playing pinball, right? I'm trying to rack up as many points as I can to make something meaningful. And when I say that, I don't say it lightly, like I just want points. These are strategically thought of, like, where do I want this to hit and how can I help it get there in an authentic way that is meaningful and it makes a difference.
So Donetta, I'm a little bit, I'm sure a lot of people listening understand what a powerful company you've created in many different ways. I'm curious, are your customers corporations? Are they executives or are they both? It kind of sounds both. Like a hybrid model. Okay.
Both. Started out with executives, right? We were like, word of mouth, and my business model is all word of mouth. I don't do any other marketing besides speaking, but the executives then turned in as other executives at companies started to see what that executive was doing. Then it turned into more, right? So we have our biggest corporate clients, I would say would be SAP was one of the first ones. We had about 130 global executives from Robert Enslin, who now is overrunning the cloud at Google, right? So we've had some really top to the CHRO and all of the HRLT at SAP. Now at Google, we have three different segments that we're working with over there. Sony Pictures, we've got a nice substantial group. We've been with A&E Networks for about 7 years. And the other nice part about our work is our clients stay with us. It's coming out of the PR world where things turned over all the time. And I was always one of those media pitchers that people would come to after they'd probably had a bad experience with PR to try to turn that around. But our clients have stayed with us. And if they move somewhere else, they usually take us with them one way or another, whether it's a maintenance program and they love social and they're rolling along now, or whether we're just coordinating the group and helping them create that ecosystem. Does that answer your question?
Yes. I've had companies reach out to me in the past. They want to feature, I've had PR agencies come out, approach me with their clients who are executives of these big brands, some like the companies that you named, and they want to feature their clients on podcast or on blog or YouTube, what have you. So that's like a traditional PR agency. But what you're doing, obviously, is infused with the social media part, with this tapping into and really positioning them as thought leaders, as well as, you know, utilizing this amazing network that you've created over the years. Is that which really differentiates what you're doing compared to all the other PR agencies that are trying to pitch me?
It's very hand, like we're doing social by hand, right? I'm very proud of that. It's not automated. It's really looking at an executive, getting to know everything about them, their voice, what they care about, where they can make a difference, what they can leverage, what we have, we can help them leverage to do the good things. And we look, like I said, it's built on purpose. So I feel good about that, right? We're doing good things with that. It's understanding what they need to do and trying to figure out new tools with social of how to help them do that. Like, how do we help? SAP cares about partners. That's their whole ecosystem, right? So what they've always cared, how do we help those cloud executives talk to their partners, right? How do we get those stories out and get those partners engaging with them? Things like that. So it's a little bit of a unique mix compared to the way other people, it's not like a social calendar. Oh, let's just like put in your posts. We do a little bit of that, but really we've avoided that because I feel like it moves like water, right? So like our first officer of sustainability at the UN moved over to Google and she's doing a sustainable program. They just announced from the CEO of Google day before yesterday, huge deal, right? So literally got a call from her like you used to help me at the UN and I know you guys work over here too. Can you help me take this out to stand voices?
Just to cut in here, but what I've witnessed, because at first I couldn't really understand myself exactly either. And one thing that I witnessed, like I said, it's kind of hard to put into words, but Donetta has this magical, like, little relationship of people that she really had, like, they know and trust. And when she spends a lot of time getting to know somebody and their brand and all the moving parts, and then makes almost like it's a mixture of like coaching almost and introductions, but it's not like I'm very wary of PR. I don't like PR at all. But the introduction, I hate anybody watching this in PR. I just haven't had a good experience. But the introductions that I've seen Danetta make, how are people jump. When she makes an introduction, they jump. Or when somebody's trying to book speakers for a conference, they come to Danetta because they trust who she's going to put. There's no pitching involved, really, in what you don't really do pitches. You just kind of you've got this little Rolodex. It's almost like, kind of like how we do in our personal lives with the podcast, Neil. Like we've really tapped into, we haven't done cold calling for the podcast. We tap into people that we know. And she does the same with social.
Thank you, Amanda. What I want to get us for the listener, obviously, you know, everyone should check out Social Architects and reach out to Danetta, and we'll get to your contact info at the end. But for those who wanted like DIY approach, right?
Right.
I suppose that what you're saying is really, if you want to build this influence, this thought leadership at a personal executive, at a corporate level, you need to be able to tap into a network. And you provide much more than that, I understand. But at a minimum, that's where those relationships you built over time, you need to maybe create some structure around that and confirm that you all have the same objective and find ways to work together. If you were going to do it on your own, it's very hard to do. I mean, Amanda and I do stuff ad hoc here and there, and we're trying to put more, you know, more form around that. But would that be, I guess, your advice based on, you know, what you've seen and what you've done for everyone listening on what they can do if they want to achieve, you know, that thought leadership in their industry, more exposure? What would your number one advice be? Tap into the network, nurture your network, dig your well before you're thirsty, create some structure. Or is there something else, some other secret sauce that you'd recommend?
Well, so it's all personal brand building, right? We all have a personal brand. And whether you have a blog or you're a podcast or you want to save a dog, right? I mean, you can use that personal brand to make a difference. So, and I do a lot of workshops and happy to do workshops for anybody that asks. So if anybody had a group and they wanted to hear more of how you build that personal brand and how you build it DIY, I'm happy to do that. I also have a little slide deck we use that I'm happy to share with any of your listeners that kind of has it broken down with best tips for LinkedIn, best tips for Twitter, and best tips for social speaking. Like, how do you take that audience into your speech with social, drive into it, and how do you take them with you and park them in your social media so you're not just walking out with 20 business cards or 100 business cards at the end and your head spinning, but you literally are continuing this conversation with the audience. So how do you light that audience up? But personal brand building, you know, it's built on trust and that authentic voice and consistency. And there's all kinds of ways we could lay out how to use hashtags, right? Hashtags are key. Like, all I think about are hashtags. Hashtags are the water cooler of your group, right? If you have the right hashtag, that's where you all come together digitally to talk like you used to in the office at the water cooler, right? And I think with COVID, a lot of these bigger corporations have realized that networking digitally is crucial, right? So how do you network digitally, right? So I've got all kinds of areas where we've tried to focus that I think help do that. I don't know if there's one area that there's a secret sauce, but it's really creating an authentic brand, being willing to put yourself out there and have a little fun on Twitter, on LinkedIn, your suit and tie, you know, put out relevant, interesting content, use your hashtags, use hashtags to research things and find other people talking about what you care about and like their stuff and follow them and try to engage around them. That's how you start to find your community. Find your peers in the sense of, if you're a CMO, find other CMOs, right? They're all out there on Twitter and LinkedIn talking to each other about things. Accountants love Twitter. They're talking about auditing and compliance and all the core, you know, like, it's like, wow, there's a lot of accountants on Twitter.
What I'm hearing is, like, make connections in your network when you don't need them first.
And be generous. Like, it's like if you drive a Harley or you have a boat, right? Everybody waves to each other on a Harley or a motorcycle, or if you're in the boat, right? It's a community. Like, create that sense of generosity and community. And if you do that with others, we have people that follow us and like and share everything, and we do the same back, right? It's really finding those, like, you guys are powerhouses in social yourself, right? So it's finding out how to ride the coattails of that energy, right? And leverage off of that to grow things that match up and support each other.
Yeah, building relationships when you don't need them first.
And how to park your audiences, right? Don't waste those audiences. If you're speaking, make sure you're sending them somewhere. So, like you guys do beautifully at the end of your podcast, right? It's like, go find us here. You wouldn't believe how many people don't do that, how they don't put where to go on their bios at a speech or lead in with it or lead out with it, where they don't, you know, audiences need permission to tweet or post during your speaking, or they feel like they're being rude. So those speakers that stand up and say, I want to know what you're thinking, whether you love my shoes or you think I'm brilliant, I'd like to hear what you think about what we're talking about today. That gives them permission to share the messaging, and you almost have your notes done for you from the speech.
So just one question for you before we wrap up, but is for people listening to this that are like, yeah, that's all sounds wonderful. And that's why people have that might have money or a company behind them have somebody paying for some company like you to do it. But what if I'm a startup, or I am busy with my full-time job. Like, I don't have the time or money to be sitting around LinkedIn trying to cultivate relationships and like comment on everybody's post and recruit all these people. Like, how do I do this? Can I do this?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, it's anybody can do it. The beauty about social marketing is it's low budgets, right? There's no budgets. You can do it yourself if you have the time and the incentive and you're building something you care about. All you need is a passionate voice and to kind of figure out how it works. And like I said, I'm happy to share the deck that we have and give advice to anybody that asks. I'm an entrepreneur myself, right? And at the same time, if you're too busy to do it, find a great intern. And you and I have talked about that, right? You find that great intern that can translate that authentic voice and the messaging and help you, you know, make those things happen that you have to knock over. But with social, you can build something small. I can give you a great example into something massive, right? So we had this small little organized group that was going to the huge AIDS conference in Africa, right? So there's the whale of a conference. These guys were a tiny minnow. It was a little nonprofit NGO that had six kid reporters with cell phones from emerging countries that were going to go do interviews on the spot at this conference. These guys had no name, very small, minuscule. These kids had so much passion. They were so excited to be there. We used their energy and social and harnessed that in a way that literally they had Elton John and Prince Harry walk into the room where they were looking for them, saying, we've seen some of the posts. We want to be interviewed by you. They were trending number three as for the company, the groups and the handles of at the conference and hashtags of all these huge groups with much bigger reputations and a lot more money than they had. But they had passion, they had authenticity, and they just grabbed social and ran. And we just helped kind of, you know, hit a few dots, you know, connect a few dots for them. But anybody can do that if you really care about what you're doing and that translates into your social, I believe.
Sweat equity, for lack of a, but it's social media, it's free, it's people, it's communication, it's there for the taking.
Exactly. Exactly. And a sense of community, right? Like building something together and making people feel like you're going to reciprocate in the sense of helping all boats rise when it comes to good things, right? And you can do so much together.
Thank you so much. I've learned so much from you and with you and every time I talk to you. And I think, you know, one thing you proved, there's something that can be said for just being really genuinely loving what you do and the people that you work with and really having their best interest first, because you can't, I think that's that thing that you can't fake. And that's why people that want these networks, it's not just about, it's almost the difference between the word sponsored versus the word partner, right? Do you want to sponsor or do you want to have a partner?
Right.
That's, can you kind of drive home that fact? So I think that the takeaway here is that, you know, it's built on real relationships. It's not a pitch.
It is. And it's your journey, right? Just share your journey and that alone just makes people kind of connect to you, and you'll be walking down the street and they'll be like, I mean, you guys get that all the time. I love you guys. I've seen what you do. Right. Social gives everybody that vehicle if you use it well.
Baby, back in my fitness days, not so much anymore, but.
Not true.
Good enough, baby. Right, Neil? Once we skyrocket this podcast.
Yeah, it reminds me, Danetta and Amanda, myself and a few other, this is back when we used to have, I forget what they're called, when we had like the Twitter events where people would just tweet ups, right?
Yeah.
So here in Orange County, California, we would do a few tweet ups and it would always be the same sort of, there were like 10 or 12 of us, but we were hyper social. Hyperactive on Twitter. And we created basically a nonprofit. It wasn't an organization. It was a hashtag called ConnectOC. And wow. We found a local Hilton Hotel in Costa Mesa.
Thank you.
We said, hey, we'll donate. people pay for parking. We'll donate that to a nonprofit of your choice. So every time we did an event, all the money would go to a nonprofit. Everybody would be supporting, and it was very social. And, you know, we had 500 people at one of our events. And this was just purely through Twitter, word of mouth. Well, we ended up launching a Facebook page later, but that's the sort of thing that you're talking about. I think in the early days of Donetta, there was a lot of that in social media. I see a little less of it now. Maybe people are using automated tools or they're trying to go for the sale. But in its early days, I think you'd agree, there was a lot of that just authentic energy and passion. And I think you've reminded me it's time to really tap back into that and really deliver value and create that sense of community.
And we do that. I mean, whether it's the big corporations like SAP or Google, where they do a lot of give back, right? I mean, they're doing a lot of great things in the world. And we make sure that we're always pushing our executives so that we're helping to make sure they're putting that out there, right? And to think about that in anybody that comes to me with a great idea, same way, it's like, what can you attach it to that means something? Because you can get everybody to talk about it if it's tied to something good. But if you just got a great idea and you're saying, well, I want everybody to do this. And it's like, well, but it has to have something that means something, because I can't go ask my friends or my community or anybody else to go out and push for it unless we're going to make a difference. So if we're going to make a difference, I'll go knock on every door I have. Right. And that works, and it still works. And I think you're right. I think things get too automated. We get moving too fast. And especially in today's world, we need that good news. We need that purpose. People are, you know, there's a lot of hard things out there. This stuff is feel good stuff. And I'll tell you, I do these workshops in corporations, from SAP to Sony to Google to others, where when you start talking about the purpose side, people light up. I mean, I'll tell you, 80% of the people that work with us care about purpose. 20% are highly ambitious, right? They want to move up and they want to move strong. But 80% out of 20, they're there because I can help the cause that I care about. Wow, that's something that means something to me. And that was really impressive to me to realize that I thought it would maybe be 50-50. So I was really surprised kind of by my own survey of that.
Yeah, I think with every new generation, there's more of that. They want a purpose behind the brand that they spend their money with, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's a really good reminder for everyone listening. Donetta, where can everybody listening, they eagerly want to approach you, learn more about your company and how you can help, where should we send them?
Our website is thesocialarchitect.co, not com. And my name is Donetta, D-O-N-N-E-T-T-A, Campbell, like in the soup, C-A-M-P-B-E-L-L. If you Google me, I'll pop up everywhere with the social architects or social media. My Twitter handle is DC Lead Architect. And anybody's welcome to invite me to connect on LinkedIn and just say that they saw us here, or just put it out. What's the show's hashtag? We should tell the audience that, because they should all be. That's how they can find all of us. We should be using that in our posts. And then we've got our water cooler.
Well, it officially is School of Influence. Okay. We don't really, you know, aggressively promote the hashtag, but it's a good reminder. Maybe we should remind people to use it.
I can tell you, some of those big corporations that we've just been talking about, at first we're not using them at all, and they are now using them. It really makes a difference, not only just understanding where your messaging is going and pulling your data points, but also just to be able to find each other, right? And to build community. And if you got one more second, I'd give you one other great example. We did best global brands for Interbrand, right? And they had all those companies that get named, and there's a lot of buzz around it. And what was really neat is kind of seeing how it erased borders. Like, all of the different Interbrand offices around the world had never really like worked together or had any bridge together until that event. And afterwards, not only did it get incredible stats afterwards, and using hashtags for the first time really grew the stats like crazy. But what was really beautiful to see was all of these offices started to light up, and the people in Paris and the people in London and Africa, wherever, started to support each other and started talking to each other on social. So social does so many different things, right? So many exciting little triggers that you can cause by just putting your heart behind your social. And for the podcast, I'd say you should use it every time you post. And post and lead people in and take quotes out at the end. And I think that's the way that podcasts grow. I know we did a compliance survey for PwC using 5 executives and a hashtag, that we were able to triple the numbers that attended this webinar that they'd done for 3 years in a row. For 1,200 people had showed up, we were able to bring it up to 36 just by organizing a couple of voices and a hashtag.
Wow.
Hashtags make a difference.
Very cool. Well, Donetta, thank you so much.
Thank you. Really nice to meet you, Neil.
Nice to meet you. I'm sure we'll be in conversations in the future as well.
Anytime. I'd love to help in any way I could. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the School of Influence podcast. Amanda and Neil would be honored if you spend a minute to write a review wherever you are listening to this podcast to help expose these interviews to a broader audience. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. Even better, build your influence and ours by sharing this podcast on your favorite social media with hashtag School of Influence. We would love to hear from and engage with you.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.